You are listening to New World Order episode 29 for season 13 for day 195 of 2019. Hey everybody, this is Collette 2, and today we're going to talk about Yoda Linux, of course. What else would we be talking about? The next command up in the listing of the contents of Linux, of Yoda Linux, is hexdump. Hexdump is a very flexible and fairly complex program. It's not the only thing that does what it does. There are other options out there, but I think hexdump is often the first stop for a Linux user because it's already on their system, whether they installed it or not. In other words, since it comes with Yoda Linux, it's fairly ubiquitous when someone tells you that you need to view, I don't know, some hidden contents of a file for some weird reason that you don't truly understand often because you're doing this for troubleshooting and you can't figure out why, I don't know, some file won't open or some problem like that. So hexdump shows you the binary contents of a file in some format, and that format by default is one thing, and then you can adjust it later yourself depending on why you're looking for that the contents of that file. So a really sort of direct example here would be to do a hex dump on, let's copy a file called foo.png. So now I'm going to do a hex dump on foo.png, and if you do that at home on your own, you get a lot of output of these sort of weird, almost IPv6 looking strings. There's very frequently a sort of a header column on the far left. Not very frequently, there is a header comment on the left, or a number on the left representing what you're looking at. But then on the right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 columns. I should have known that. 8 columns of the bytes that are contained in your file. So the nice thing about hexdump is that it doesn't fail if you just try it on a file. It's also non-destructive, by the way. You're not changing anything about your file. You're simply dumping the contents of a file out into your terminal. And you can change that. You can look at man hexdump to see options. You can get 1 byte octal. Display the input offset in hexadecimal, followed by 16 space separated 3-column 0 filled bytes of input data in octal per line, or 1 byte character. And don't worry, I'm going to explain a lot of this. Display the input offset in hexadecimal, followed by 16 space separated 3-column space filled characters of input data per line. 2-byte decimal, display the input, so you can try all of these. You can do hexdump-delta-foo.png. You get a slightly different looking output. Still the same data that you're looking at, still as completely meaningless to you as previously. It's just formatted slightly differently, or converted to a different value. Okay, so that's kind of the intro to hexdump without any context whatsoever, right? It's a way to look at a file. You can control, by the way, I should say, hexdump --length, and let's do 8, foo.png, gives you just 8 bytes of foo.png. You could do foo length 16 and get a little bit more information. You do length 4 and get less, so on. So that's an easy way to prevent every time you do hexdump for it to scroll off your screen, because we'll need that in a moment. So what are you seeing? Well, you're seeing the contents of the file through sort of a lens that you've never looked through before. And this output is a little bit more sensible. If you do, for instance, a hexdump --length, let's do just the first 8 bytes, so --length 8, or for short, just -in 8. And then for a little bit of extra, a little bit of added value here, we're going to use the so-called canonical display. And this is, you can do dash dash canonical, C-A-N-O-N-I-C-A-L, or just a dash capital C. That's a capital C, not a lowercase c. Lowercase c will give you 1 byte characters. Dash capital C gives you the canonical display. Canonical, which is hex plus ASCII. So that's quite useful because we're very used to seeing ASCII. So if we do hex dump dash n8 dash capital C foo.png, we get the, on the left, you see the address space and the and a representation of the data that we saw previous. Now again, it's been converted. It's a little bit different than what you saw when you just invoked hex dump foo.png, but it's the same data. And then on the far right, you should see a new column of familiar looking data. It would be a type character and then a dot, and then if you're doing a png file, you'll see the string png and then some dots and then the pipe character again. Now that's just the n dash 8. If I take that away and just do hex dump dash capital C on foo.png, I get a lot of data. And again, it scrolls right off the screen, and you'd have to scroll quite a ways up to get back to the first part. But you see that the contents of the right hand file, it is fairly familiar. That looks kind of sensible. It doesn't look super sensible because it's a PNG and we don't have a whole lot of, we don't really know what that would look like as an image in pixels, but at least it's not garbage, right? And you can even, for instance, do, if you've ever done a cat of dev random or dev u random, you know that I'll do a cat slash dev slash u random and then pipe, let's just do the head in to. It's just a bunch of garbled characters that cannot be displayed by our terminal. I mean, there's some familiar characters in there, but a lot of it's just nonsense. Now, if we do that same thing, we do cat dev u random pipe hex dump dash capital C, then you get the output of dev u random. But instead of, oops, I didn't mean to do that. So let's just do head dash in two and then type hex dump dash C. You get the output of dev u random, but instead of seeing unprintable garble characters, you see in the far right hand corner, in the far right hand column, you see some familiar characters, and anything that's not printable is represented as a dot. So that's all those little dot, dot, dots. Those are truly meaningless characters that you and I would have nothing to equate it to. But there's other stuff in there. Random stuff, or pseudo-random stuff. Okay, so let's get back to this PNG, because that gave us something that we could actually latch onto. So we're gonna do a hex dump dash in 8 again, dash capital C for that canonical display of foo.png. We get these first 8 bytes interpreted both in hex and in ASCII on the right. Now, if we go to a website called libpng.org, and we look up the spec of the PNG format, and specifically that's at libpng.org/pub/png/spec/1.2/png-structure.html with PNG and S all capitalized. If you go to that web page, it tells you that the file structure consists of a PNG signature followed by a series of chunks. This chapter defines the signature and the basic properties of chunks. Individual chunk types are discussed in the next chapter. Okay, great. So all we care about, honestly, is the file signature. That's 3.1 PNG file signature. It says the first 8 bytes of a PNG file always contains the following decimal values. And it gives you 1, 3, 7, 80, 78, 71, 13, 10, 26, 10. So, in other words, when we do the command, when we use the command file on foo.png, it somehow magically knows that this file is a PNG. It says foo.png. It's a PNG image. Data, 300 by 300, 8-bit color, and so on. Okay, that's cool, but how did it know that? If we move file.png to foo.jpg, so I've just renamed it from PNG to JPEG, and then I do file foo.jpg, it somehow still knows it's a PNG, foo.jpg, PNG image data, 300 by 300, 8-bit color, etc. So how does it know that this thing is a JPEG and not a PNG? And you see this on other systems. This causes lots of problems on other operating systems or in some desktop environments that choose willfully to use the proclaimed extension, the thing followed by the final dot in a file name. It uses that as an indicator of what kind of file it is. And that seems like a really obvious and kind of friendly way to do things, but it can be problematic because sometimes files get named something that don't make any sense. Or sometimes they get named things that the system has nothing to provide for that extension. X. Z, B, what is that? Computer's not going to know. But file knows, the file command knows. And the way that the file command knows is what we've just done here with hexdump-in8-capital-C-foo.png. It knows exactly what kind of file it is because it's literally spelled out in the first 8 bytes of the file. I've heard this header line called a couple of different things, and a really common one is magic cookie. I don't know if that's the official name, because I've also read in an old BIOS manual from like 1994 or something that a magic cookie is also the shebang line in a shell script that's called the magic cookie as well. So I guess maybe both of them are because they're at the head of the file. Whatever it's called, that's the way that, for instance, file knows what kind of command it is, or what kind of file it is dealing with. Okay, so, and you can see this in other places, right? So let's generate a quick little some other kind of binary. So I'm going to, I don't know C very well, so I'm going to just use C++. This C++ is overkill for this, but it's quicker, and it's something that I will be able to do off the cuff. So if we open a file called hello.cpp, and we'll just do hash include less than iostream, greater than symbol, so that's angle bracket, whatever you call them. And then we'll just do using namespace std, standard namespace, and then we'll do int main parentheses, and then a curly brace, and we'll do a c out, and then less than, and we'll do a hello world, just hello world string. Semicolon, you gotta end the line with a semicolon. And then since this is an int main, we're gonna do a return 0, because it needs to return an integer. And then we'll close that curly brace. And we'll save that. So it's a really simple little hello world script. And now we'll do g++ hello.cpp, dash o for output. We'll do hello.bin for binary. And that should work pretty quickly. And then we'll do a dot slash hello bin to execute it. And it says hello world. It's a little bit rubbish because it doesn't have a new line character at the end. I didn't think of that, but that's okay. Actually, it's not okay. I'm going to go in and edit it. Sorry. Okay, so now we've got cout less than, quote, hello world, end quote, less than, endl, E-N-D-L, and then a semicolon. Now we'll do G++ hello.cpp dash o hello bin again, and then we'll do dot slash hello dot bin to look at it, and it says hello world, and then it gives us a new line so that our prompt is on the next line. It's much cleaner. And that's it. That's our hello world application. We see what it does. We know that it is written in C++. If, by the way, you don't have a compiler on your system, that's fine. You just trust that we've just done a very easy hello world application on C++. So we've got a binary file, and if we for instance did a cat on hello.cpp, we see the contents of it, right? If we do a cat on hello.bin, however, that's going to be a lot uglier, and I'm going to do it with a head dash in 2, and you kind of see a bunch of, again, just a lot of garbled text. Now, you do have some familiar strings in there, which I'm going to just kind of skip over pleasantly, because that kind of defeats the one of the points of, well, it doesn't really, I guess. So there is a familiar string right at the head of this file if you do a cat hello bin, and that is the letters ELF. ELF, you may or may not know, is the name of the file type of a Linux binary. It's an ELF file. So if we run file on hello.bin, it tells us, hey, it's an ELF 64-bit LSB executable. So that's perfect. If we do file on hello.cpp, it ought to tell us that it's a text file. Oh, it even knows more than that. It's hello CPP, a C++ source ASCII text. That's pretty fancy. Okay, so now let's do a hex dump dash in 8 again of hello.bin, and we should see, as you and I both know, the string ELF, dash capital C, right, for the canonical output. Now we should see the capital ELF at the very front of the file. And we do indeed. So 7F454C46020100.ELF... Perfect. That's exactly what we wanted to see. We're going to take away the dash in 8, however, and just get the canonical output. So hex dump dash capital C hello bin, and then we're going to pipe that through less, hit return, and now on the left we have all the hexadecimal representations of the data, and on the right we see all of the hex the translations into ASCII for us. And there's a lot of dots in there, right? There's a lot of stuff that just wouldn't make any sense to us, or you know, can't be represented as characters, so they get represented as dots. But if you kind of scroll down with the down arrow, you see some really interesting information. For instance, at one point you see lib/lib64, or you might see a different, it depends on the setup of your system, ld-linux-x86-64.so, GNU. It tells us that libstandard C++.so was used in creating this thing, glibcxx. These are all the libraries that it used to create this admittedly very simple demonstration application. If you keep going, you'll eventually, if you look very closely, you'll eventually come across hello world in that output. You actually see the hello world itself in the output of this thing. You can get there quicker if you just do a hex dump dash c hello dot bin type grep dash capital C one. So that'll give us a line above and a line below the results. And then we'll just do a search for HD, lowercase h, lowercase e. Do that and you just get, oh, actually we got more than I thought we would get. How about H-E-L-L? There we go. So you get the output of just the matching part, which is three lines. One is context, and it's not what we're looking for. The next one is H-E-L-L, and then on the next line, O space world, and then a bunch of more characters. So hex dump, showing you all of the contents of a file, kind of gives you an idea of what files are actually made of. And you may not have ever thought about files containing this sort of information, or you may not have ever thought about what kind of mix of data a compiled, a binary file might contain. Now, this, by the way, is a great argument, I think, for plain text stuff in general, right? What we're doing here is we're really doing deep analysis. Like, deep analysis makes it sound really important and significant. We're looking pretty deep into a file, a binary file, and looking at data in a very sort of raw state or an uninterpreted state. I mean, we are interpreting it a little bit, but it is sort of, this is what the computer is looking at, right? And we're looking at it in ways that humans aren't really intended to look at it. If you want to see a PNG file, the intent is that you open a PNG file in a graphical application, right? That's where the PNG makes sense to us. For instance, if you were to ask me what foo.png contained, and I gave you, and I looked at the hex dump output of foo.png, I would not be able to honestly tell you what that was a picture of. I wouldn't be able to say, oh, I happen to know that that's a little blue penguin from Oamaru. I wouldn't know that because I can't interpret that hex dump in that way. So plain text files are kind of neat. And on Linux, they're very frequently the default. And a lot of people talk a lot about that, especially when they get into Linux for the very first time, and they really start understanding that a lot of what you can do on Linux is done in plain English. You do, maybe there's a syntax being enforced. You have to make sure to put a semicolon off after that one line, or if you don't want that line to be looked at, you can put a hash character in front of it to make it a comment, and little things like that. But generally, it's all plain text. You just do plain ASCII in a file. And the advantage is that when you want to then get that information, you want to retrieve that information back, you don't have to use hex dump. You don't have to look at a file with hex dump and scour through it to find familiar looking strings. And if you can't find a familiar string that's descriptive enough, then who knows what you have to do? You have to open it up in some special program that knows how to interpret that hex data in a way that you can understand, just as a graphic application can interpret the hex data of a PNG file in a way that actually is meaningful to you. So the fact that Linux doesn't require some special application to interpret data that ideally should be easily accessible and interpretable by you, it's a huge deal. It's a really, really big deal, and I can't tell you how many blockades I've run into on other operating systems because they don't do that. So for instance, from what I understand, the Windows registry is famous for being kind of over-engineered and inconvenient, because in order to edit it, from what I've understood, you need whatever application it uses for the Windows registry, and I know nothing about that. I'm just pulling that out as an example, the one that is closer to home for me, because I had to deal with it as both a power user getting out of this operating system and into Linux, but also as a systems administrator who had to deal with workstations of this type. But on Mac, their preference files, their .plist files, are binary files. So if you want to change some kind of, some attribute of, I don't know, the desktop or something, you want to change something, there's no way that you can't just open up a plist file and kind of switch something over and tell it, instead of remembering the last 15 applications open, remember the last 10. That's not a line that you enter into a configuration file. It's because the configuration file is a binary entity, and there's no way really for you to insert data into it without opening or without generating a new plist from some application that is designed to generate plists. So plain text, it's a big deal, and it gets you away from this kind of mess, which is really nice. That is not all I have to say about Hexdump. Next, we're going to look at how to control the output of Hexdump so that it does contain meaningful data for you. We're going to re-implement the cat command with Hexdump. But first, we're going to go get a cup of coffee. All right, I've got coffee. I went and got a cup of coffee. It's hot and very, very good. And I have to say, I've got very exciting coffee news coming up. I can't reveal it yet because I haven't gotten it in the mail. But it is on its way. It's going to be very exciting. I'll talk about it once I have it in my hands, or rather in my cup. So, Hexdump. Let's talk about Hexdump. I should mention a couple of things. So first of all, I realized Hexdump is a lot like, well, it's a lot like cat. All it does is dump information, and that information, again, may not be useful. So there's nothing magical about Hexdump. If you do Hexdump and pipe the output of Hexdump into a file, you don't have a duplicate of that file. For instance, let's do that. Let's do exactly that. Hexdump foo.png. And I'm piping it to redirect greater than symbol to bar.png. And then if I do a gwen view bar.png, I don't see the thing that I, the picture, the image that I would expect to see. Loading bar.png failed. Loading meta information failed. And that is because if I do a file on bar.png, it tells me it's ASCII text. So I just want to emphasize, I guess, that Hexdump, just because it looks confusing, doesn't mean that it's somehow magic. It is interpreting the data in a binary file. It is not the binary data. That's what I was trying to say. Okay, so next, let's learn about I said earlier that Hexdump is pretty flexible, and it really is. The output of Hexdump is true and correct, but it is exactly what it is, hexadecimal. That is what it is presenting to us. That's not always what we need. And that is, of course, why the dash capital C, the canonical output, where it shows us the hex on one side and the ASCII on the other, that's a little bit more useful to us, because that at least gives us some kind of reference point of what all that hexadecimal stuff means. Now, it can be useful because, like, file or applications like Scalpel, for instance, which scrubs corrupted hard drives or deleted, stuff that's been deleted, it scrubs it for based on file headers that you can discover with hex dump. So for that reason, hex dump is sometimes really, really useful. But in general, that's not always, hex dump isn't what you always really need. And, or it is what you need, but it's not in the format that you need it. And for that reason, the dash dash format option is really, really important with hex dump. If you're doing a lot with hex dump, learning how to format its output is probably vital, to be honest, because not it's just the chances that whatever you're doing is going to require the hexadecimal representation of things in this exact order. It's just not, you can't count on that. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to just really quickly grab a copy of the GPL because I know that that's on my system somewhere. So I'll find in slash user slash doc, which might be a different path on your system if you're not on Slackware. I think it's sometimes user share doc. And then I'll just do dash name, all capitals, copying. Whoa, there's a lot. Okay. So I'm just going to cat any given one of these. Here's the one for GCC. I know that one's got to be the latest version of the GPL. So cat user dot GCC dash asterisk slash copying redirect to GPL.txt. Great. Now I've got a big text file in my working directory that I can play around with. Now, once again, we can see this in a variety of different ways. The easiest way, hex dump dash capital C GPL.txt, and I'm just going to do maybe dash in. I'll go back to the beginning here, hex dump dash in. Let's do 24 bytes. 24 was not enough. Let's do 96. There we go. Could have actually done with 48, but whatever. So here's hex dump dash in 96 dash capital C GPL.txt. Got about six lines here of content, and it starts GNU General Public License version 2. No, that's unexpected. Okay, we've seen that, right? That's not anything new to us. We know how to convert to ASCII by that method. The dash dash format option lets us control how the data is being presented. It is similar to the printf statement. The syntax for format is similar to the printf command. If you're not familiar with printf, I used to not be very familiar with it at all, and then I realized that it's just one of those things that gets used all the time in programming. It's just all over the place. Printf, learn it, love it, just get used to it. It's almost to the point where it just makes more sense to use printf instead of using echo. Really, printf is kind of the way to go. But anyway, printf, so terminal printf quote percent s close quote space foo. That prints foo and then gives you your prompt. There's no line break, there's no new line in there. It's just it's printf, and then printf is asking, okay, well, what are you going to feed me? And you're telling it, well, I'm going to feed you a quote percent s close quote. What that stands for is a string. Now, printf, the way that it works is that it doesn't it's kind of setting up a template. So printf quote percent s, and then let's do a backslash n, which if you know your special characters, you'll know that that's a new line character. Close quote space foo. Now printf prints the string that we gave it, which was foo, and then it follows that string with a new line. And so our prompt is on the next line. Doesn't have to be a string. You can do things like printf quote percent d for delta, or for digit, I guess, and then backslash n again just to keep it sort of clean, and then we'll give it a number. So let's do 1, 2, 3. it prints the digits 1, 2, 3. You can do fancier things, print F, quote, 0% D, and a new line. Now let's give it the number 1, and it prints 0, 1. Let's give it the number 10, it prints 0, 1, 0, and so on. So that's print F, just to kind of give you a quick primer on that. The same sort of tradition is used here with hex dump, but they have some special notations. They don't just use the percent %s and percent %d. I mean, printf has other ones too, but hex dump has some specific ones that it can use that would be particularly useful in this case. So what I want to do here as exercise to get you used to how the --- format works is we're going to re-implement the cat command with hex dump. As silly as that seems, it's not going to be a perfect re-implementation, I will admit to that. There's probably a way to get a little bit better, but we're going to get 90% of the way there. I mean, heck, we're already 45% of the way there just with hex dump --C, right? Because that does dump the contents of the file there on the far right column. So, I mean, that's pretty far along. But the --- format option will get us even closer. So if we do a man hex dump, and we go down to format, so specify a string to be used for displaying data. And further down the man page, there's a section called formats. And it says a format string contains any number of format units separated by white space. A format unit contains up to 3 items, an iteration count, a byte count, and a format. The iteration count is an optional positive integer, defaults to 1. Each format is applied iteration count times. And that's not really what I'm looking for. Okay, so here's single character escape. Sequences described in the C standard are supported. So there's the backslash n, so we can use the backslash n in this when we're defining the format. And then there are also conversion strings. The hex dump utility also supports the following additional conversion strings. And the one that I want to focus in on here, although you can read all of them for yourself as well, is the underscore p, which outputs characters in the default character set. Non-printing characters are displayed as a single dot. Okay, so that's pretty useful. So let's just try that. Let's do a hex dump --, format, and then single quote, because remember the man page said it had to be encased in single quotes. So single quote, and then double quote, like normal quote, percent underscore p, close quote, close single quote, and then the path to the thing that we want to view the hex dump of. If you do that, you see that you get just the ASCII output of the file, and it goes way off screen probably. And you know how to limit that now. We could say, if we don't want that to happen, we could say hex dump --n. Let's do a good number here. Let's do like, 128. --, format, single, double, percent, underscore, p, close, double, close, single, gpl.txt. And there we've got just sort of the head of the file. And there's a dot, and there's an asterisk, GNU general public license, dot, asterisk, asterisk, version 2. So, that's pretty close. Like we're probably about 75% of the way to a cat command now. I mean that totally works, right? Like if you wanted to see the text of a file, then hex dump --- format, bunch of quotes, percent underscore p will get you a pretty good representation. Now you'll notice that there's not a whole lot of dots in this file. We know that dots are being used to represent not only the actual literal dot, but also non-printable characters. Now, this is a text file, so most of the characters in this file are printable. It's not a big deal that this file is, you know, it's plain text, so most of it is going to be recognizable to us. There's not a whole lot going on here, and that's fine. You do notice, maybe, that the line breaks as they are. It's a little bit off. It's a little bit confusing. So there's the new general public license on one line, and then there's this weird blank line, and there's version 2, comma, June 1, 9, asterisk, and then 1 dot asterisk, and then copyright. So it breaks it up at really unusual places and unexpected places. And the reason for that is most files that are written for Unix and Linux, they kind of assume, like the plain text files assume, that there's an 80 character width to them, because that's just kind of traditionally, that's the width of a screen, right? When we think of how many characters can display on a screen, well, traditionally that was what it was, like an old CRT monitor, 80 characters wide. Now, that's a lot less true on fancy computers nowadays with resolutions that are quite high, and there's a graphic server, and so you're not really seeing the text, you're seeing a representation of the text. But if you were to do a Control Alt F1 or F2 or F4, whatever, and get over to a text-only console on your Linux box, you still might see a lot more than 80 characters across. But if you did all of that without any kind of intervening software trying to make things prettier for you, then you would see closer to 80 characters wide. Now, actually, as it happens, 80 characters is also kind of the general width of paper as well. Like if you do a monospace thing at like 12 points, you basically get 80, give or take. But and certainly I think that was true on the old dot matrices. I don't know for sure, but it was around that area. So 80 characters wide is kind of like the assumption. We can tell Hexdump to use that as its assumption with dash dash format single quote. Now follow along here. We've got a single quote, and then we're gonna no double quotes. We're gonna put 80 and then divided by 1, so 80/1, which is telling it to take to treat. Well, remember the man page said the not the iteration, but the chunk size, as it were. I want it to interpret 80 bytes all as one at once, and I want it to print quote percent underscore p close quote, and then we'll just close the single quote, and then we'll do gpl.txt. This is going to get us close. It's not going to be where we want to be. Hit return, and that didn't work because I accidentally got rid of. Oh, I put my quote percent in the wrong place. There we go. And you can see, actually, I'm gonna get rid of this dash in 128. I want to see the whole file now. You can see that we get a just a big wall of text. It's certainly more than 80 characters wide, and the only reason for that is because it didn't get the memo that we want line breaks at all, because we didn't tell it. So you can add a line break as well, once again with the printf style syntax. So hexdump dash dash format single quote 80 divided by 1 space double quote percent underscore p close quote, and then quote backslash in close quote close single quote space gpl.txt return, and there we're getting an 80 characters wide dump of the file, which pretty much is as close to cat as I care to get to at this point. But yeah, I think you get the idea that you are able to control the output of Hexdump in such a way that it is useful for whatever purpose you are using it. You can play around with, 80 to 1. We can say 8 to 1, and you'll get eight bytes at a time, on a per line, rather. 16 to 1, and so on. So you can kind of mess around with that, and that comes in handy sometimes. And to put this further, so re-implementing cat with hex dump is fun and silly, but and it gives you an idea of the formatting options. But now let's try to re-implement, or rather, let's try to go, let's get back to that PNG example, and let's try to challenge ourselves to format the output of hex dump such that we get the same output that libPNG, the libPNG spec, told us we should. Which, if I go back to this page and look at it, PNG spec. First 8 bytes of a PNG file contain the following decimal values: 137, 80, 78, 71, 13, 10, 26, 10. And we remember that if we did hex dump dash in 8, so that's the length of 8 bytes, right? That's what it's telling us, the first 8 bytes of foo.png, we get 50, 89, 47, 4E0, A0, D0, A1A. It's not what we expect to see. All right, but we know that we can change things. We can do this. So the first thing to do would be hex dump dash in 8. We know that we only want the first 8 bytes. And then dash dash format, or if you're lazy, dash E. And then a single quote. Actually, I'll do two single quotes and then I'll back up one, so I'm in my single quotes now. So we know we want the decimal representation of these digits because the spec file tells us. It says the first 8 bytes always contain the following decimal values. So that's what we're looking for. So if we do a hex dump dash in 8 dash E single quote as we've done, and then inside the single quotes, double quote percent D, because we know from, and then close double quotes, close single quote, we know from printf that a percent D should give us a digit, right? So I guess that's what that stands for. I don't really know. Printf, man, printf, backslash delta, no, percent delta rather, sorry. And it doesn't actually say what it stands for. I don't know if it's decimal or digit, or if it even matters. I'm not really a math person. I know someone who is. Someone will probably know. I know a very specific person who will probably email me and tell me what that stands for. Okay, so hex dump dash in 8 dash e percent d with all the quotes around it, and then foo.png. We get the output of 119.63147, and so on. That doesn't look familiar to me. And I'll tell you why. That's because we're getting each byte treated as a single entity. What do you know about bytes, though? How many bits are in a byte? Well, this is where the math does come in. So hex dump dash in 8 space dash e single quote. If you know anything about bits and bytes or about computers at all, you probably know that that 8 is significant. So we're going to do 8 divided by 1 because we want this to be treated, we want each byte to be treated as a byte. We want each bit in a group of 8 to represent a byte. So we'll do hex dump dash in 8 dash e single quote 8 slash 1 space quote, that's a double quote, percent delta, percent d, close quote, close single quote, foo.png. Now we're getting close. 137807871131026102610. If you look at that string, you realize that's really, really close to the first 8 bytes of a PNG file, which is 137 space 80 space 78 space 71 space 13, and so on. So really, all we need here is a little bit of something, a little bit of space, really. So we can do a percent d, and then is there a no, I guess there's not. I'm betting that there's some kind of fancy. Ooh, that's fancy. Okay, so hex dump dash in 8 dash e single quote 8 divided by 1 space quote percent d, and then go with me on this, do a / t, close quote, close single quote, foo.png. Oh, and then after the, let's do that first, right there. 137, and then a tab, 80 tab, 78 tab, 71 tab, and so on. Great, so that's exactly what we were looking for. Once again, there's no new line at the end of all of this, and this is kind of important to understand because it has everything to do with grouping. So let's do this together, or maybe you're not doing this at all, but here's what we're going to do together on the show. Text dump dash in 8 dash e single quote 8 slash 1 quote percent d / t. Now this is not what I want, but I'm going to do it anyway to demonstrate. So percent d / t / n close quote close single quote foo.png. Now what you get is 137 new line, 80 new line, 78 new line, 71 new line, 13 new line, and so on. It's not really what I wanted to do, actually. So that kind of demonstrates that the clause in this format string is significant. So the double quotes within the single quotes is significant. So right now we're saying 8 divided by 1, so take 8 bits at a time and treat it as one entity. Format it as a decimal digit for us. And then and print that digit, and then insert a tab T, and then repeat. Well, what we actually want is an additional clause here at the very end. So two more double quotes, and then we'll do a / n, close quote, close single quote, foo.png. So now we're saying take the byte, print it as a decimal with a tab following after it. It's basically a for each loop, and if you don't know what a for each or a for loop is, go back and listen to episode 1326. I just covered for loops on this very show not too long ago. So you're saying for each set of 8 bits per byte, or for each set of 8 bits treated as a byte, printed as a decimal, appended with a tab character, do that until you run out of groups of 8, and it's because, so it'll do that 8 times, because we gave it hex dump dash in 8. And then we're saying, do that 8 times, and then at the very end of that process, insert a new line, because there's a new set of double quotes. So if you do that, then you get 137, 80, 78, 71, 13, 10, 26, 10, and then a new line, and then you're prompt, and you're done. And that gives us exactly what the PNG spec tells us should be contained in the first 8 bytes. Well, not exactly. I guess if we want like exact, we would get rid of that / t and just insert a literal space. So it's percent d space close quote, and now you've got 137 space 80 space 78 space 71 space 13 space 10 space 26 space 10, and that's the header. That's PNG. That is it interpreted as decimal numbers that you and I can very easily and quickly kind of understand and interpret. There's a lot more to hexdump, and I'm not going to go into it because at a certain point it does become overkill. However, I'm going to send you over to an article on Seuss.com. So if you go to Seuss.com/c/making-sense-hexdump, there's a really, really fascinating article about hexdump. It is a little bit confusing. The formatting of it was a little bit strange to me. And there's some overlap. I mean, some of the very beginning of the article probably covers, I don't really remember. I kind of skipped down to the part, the really interesting part that I'm actually referencing you to. But there's, there are little tips too, like the fact that you can actually start at a different position. You don't have to start at 0 when doing a hexdump. You can do a dash s and start at some other number of, you know, you're telling it to go into the file some number of bytes and then start doing the hex dump. So that was kind of cool. But the really, the interesting read that I'm not going to cover because I I barely understand this myself. It's dumping a partition table using Hexdump. Now, there's no good reason that I can think of to do it this way. And he or she even says in the article, it's easy to get the necessary information from FDisk by switching it to show sector size units, but I thought I'd play with Hexdump to force myself to use format syntax. So it's an exercise purely sort of doing what I did with by re-implementing the cat command and by struggling to get that same output from libpng. It's just an exercise to practice the --- format option. There's no great reason to do it other than this is how you control the output of Hexdump. But it is a fascinating read. Like I said, the layout of the article is a little bit strange. There are these weird sort of green section headings, and I don't really know what the logic there is. I don't understand what is trying to be conveyed. It's probably really obvious. I'm just, for whatever reason, not getting it. It is a little bit strange, but the content is super super interesting nevertheless. And he talks about signed and unsigned. He talks about 32 versus 64-bit. It puts it into a shell script so that he can reliably get partition tables using Hexdump. Definitely worth a read. I will link to this article in the show notes because it's really, really interesting. And as I say, a little bit bizarre. Like, it is one of those articles where, I mean, it's great, but it's also just like, why would you do it that way? And as he says, there's no good way to do it. He did it because he wanted to reinforce the format option. And I think that's justification enough. Anyway, that's really all I have to say about Hexdump. Like I say, Hexdump is really useful if you're playing around with Scalpel to rescue files, which, of course, you shouldn't ever have to do anyway, ideally. You should be backing up. You should not be using the RM tool and so on. But sometimes you have to. And if there's a file out there that wasn't in the Scalpel config file, you can define your own. And the way that you define that is by looking at the magic cookies at the very beginning of a file type, extracting that data and putting it into the config file, and sending Scalpel over the drive to look for blocks of data that begin with that magic cookie, with that set of numbers. So it can be a useful tool. I mean, I've heard of it being used for lots of other things. So yeah, Hexdump is just, it's one of those things that you're not going to use daily, weekly, monthly, probably, maybe, but more likely it'll be something that you use on occasion. And if you practice with it a little now, it'll be a little bit less confronting later when you actually need to use it. So that's Hexdump from Util Linux. Hope that was either interesting or fun or enlightening, one of those things. And if not, I have a special, I don't know how special it is, I have a treat for you. I have the sounds of little blue penguins in Oamaru, New Zealand. You can go to Oamaru, if you happen to be in New Zealand, and go to the waterfront at night, and you'll hear the sounds of little blue penguins talking to each other after they come in from the ocean. They go out into the ocean during the day to fish, to get food. And they swim out in the ocean all day long. And these are little blues, so they're like, maybe a foot and a half tall. They're really small, but I mean, they're legit penguins. And they go out into the ocean as what they call, a raft of penguins is what they're called. They go out in a big group and they go around fishing and swimming and eating. They stay out there all day, and then at night, usually around 8 o'clock, sometimes at 6, like sort of near, a little bit after sunset, they come out of the ocean at Oamaru, because there is a shelter there. There's a penguin sort of reserve, and they know that, and they go there, and they go to their little houses, and before they go to bed, every night they just kind of sit outside their little houses. I'm not making this up. And they chatter. They talk to each other. So I've been to the penguin reserve I mean, obviously, what am I not going to go to a Penguin Reserve as a Linux geek? I've been there, and it is a riot. It's a real hoot because they do exactly as I've described. They swim up from the ocean in formation in like a what they call a raft. They pop out of the water, they waddle up on up the beach, they climb over the rocks. And seeing them do that without any arms is just amazing. So they climb over the rocks, they get up onto the shore, and then they go to their little houses, which sadly aren't like super, like they're not designer houses, they're just boxes. But they go to them, and then they sit outside and chatter to each other. They just talk. And then eventually, like around midnight or maybe later, they go to bed. They go into their house and go to sleep. And then in the morning, they do it all over again. Now, this past time that I was driving down from Picton to where I am now, I stopped over in Oamaru, and we went to the waterfront. We didn't go to the Penguin Reserve, but we just kind of sat by the water and listened to the little blues chirp and chatter. So that's what I'll end on. I'll close this episode with the sounds of little blue penguins in Oamaru, New Zealand. Enjoy!